Thanks so much for listening to Middays with Susie Larson podcast. This is a little bit of bonus content because we as a team are walking through the Gospel of Luke this month, each day reading a chapter. Today, I want to talk about what it means to fast and pray. You know, I did a show on fasting, a couple months ago, and so many people benefited from it. And one person in particular on Facebook said, the Bible is very clear that fasting can only be about food. I didn't see that. I haven't found that. I don't actually agree with that, but you sure can correct me if you think differently. But the Bible says a lot about self-restraint, practicing self-control. In fact, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Paul himself says, I buffet my body, I make it my slave. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself will be disqualified. Here's the thing is, we as Christians, I believe so strongly, we need to be practicing self-restraint on a regular basis. We need to say no to our flesh and make our flesh deal with it. Well, discipline and self-restraint isn't the same as fasting. You can practice self-restraint without fasting, but you cannot fast without practicing self-restraint. So we do need to train, I think, to enter into a good fast, because otherwise we'll be full of starts and stops. We will feel frustrated. I hear so many stories about that. When people set out to fast, they fail. They come under condemnation. Well, guess what? There's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. But you don't want to deal with that constant sense of, I can't win at this. You hear me often make parallels to our physical health because I see so many spiritual laws in the way that God has wired us physically. And as a person, again, who worked in the industry, fitness industry for so long, we would just love as instructors January and February because our studios would be packed with people making New Year's resolutions. But then every year, like clockwork, they would fall away about mid-February, end of February, because you can't really overindulge your flesh for 2 months and just party on like there's no tomorrow with excessive eating and intake and expect to then practice restraint without some kind of pain and cost and frustration. I think it's just much easier to practice self-restraint as a way of life. And it's really a component that's so necessary when it comes to entering into fasting. What is fasting? It's laying something down in your life so that you can lay hold of more of God. In biblical examples, there are times when followers of Christ, when even in the Old Testament, when those were appealing to God for the sake of an injustice that was about to happen. In Esther's case, Mordecai was, you know, calling for a fast. Esther called for a fast. There's times where it's to break a stronghold. Jesus talked about when the disciples couldn't deliver a boy who was demonized. Some things only come out through prayer and fasting. Sometimes fasting is called for when you just need clarity. You know, Scripture talks about that when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we will be satisfied. Well, is there something in your life that you're not satisfied about? Maybe it's what's happening in our culture. Maybe it's what's happening in our country, in your family. Maybe there's a generational sin that is just perpetuated generation after generation, and you're done with it. You're not satisfied with it. Well, as long as our flesh is comfortable, we will not hunger and thirst for righteousness. But if you can lay something down for a time so that you can lay hold of more of the things of God, you will enter into something with the Lord that you could not experience any other way. And you've heard me say this before, but I think it bears repeating. We have a propensity to go on cruise control, autopilot, where we do the same things in our Christian life over and over again. We're not challenged in our spirit anymore. And oftentimes when you start to go through the motion, something happens. You disengage your heart. And when you disengage your heart, you disengage your faith. And then what happens? Absolutely nothing. In the spiritual realm, nothing happens if you're really disengaged. If you're just going through the motions, nothing changes. That's why it's so good to up your game, to re-engage, and to say, Lord, I'm pressing in to know you more, and I'm laying this thing down for a time so I can lay hold of more of you. It is quite amazing how when we deny our flesh, it awakens something in the spiritual realm, and it awakens and heightens our spiritual senses. And, you know, once I retired from the fitness world, I started to take classes, and there was a cycle instructor that I loved because she was a pro cyclist. And she, whenever we would get into her studio to take our cycle class, she would say, people are coming to this health club to work out, but you're coming in this class to train. We're not just here to work out, we're training. So this week we're focusing on speed, or this week we're focusing on hills, or getting our time, improving our time or whatever. But there was always a very specific reason why we were in that studio. It was truly upping our game with intent focus. Well, I think that's fasting in many ways, where you up your game for an intent purpose. What do you need from God? Do you need clarity? Maybe the heavens seem silent. You've got a decision to make. Or maybe you just feel like your flesh is so weak and you keep going around the same mountain again and again and you want freedom. Maybe you're done with the millions of babies we're killing in this nation through abortion and you want to intercede. And you think, what could my little voice do? Well, guess what? It can move heaven and earth. Maybe you want to see revival come to the nation. I pray you do. Fast and pray. Well, Jesus in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 4, he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was fasting and praying. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Isn't that amazing? Thank the Lord he was fasting and praying. His flesh was weak. He was hungry. He was tired. But his spirit was strong. And to me, the first thing that stands out to me is you don't have to feel physically well to be mighty in battle, but you do have to be in step with the Holy Spirit. And another thing that stands out to me is if Jesus fasted and prayed, don't you think we need to fast and pray? He went into the wilderness hungry and thirsty. He was fasting. He was praying. The Bible says he came out of the wilderness in the power of God. And I've noticed that when I neglect something, or maybe a better word is when I say no to my flesh and practice self-restraint, going, I'm not going to eat. You know, maybe one day a week you fast. Say, I'm skipping breakfast and lunch. And again, it's not just enough to just practice self-restraint. You enter in to a deeper, purposeful, focused prayer. Lord, I need clarity. I want more of you. Well, Jesus did that. And what's interesting is when he came out, scripture says he came out filled with the Spirit's power. And news of him spread quickly. And then he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home. He went to the synagogue. He stood up to read the scripture. So after the fasting, praying, after being tempted by the devil, he comes home in the Spirit's power. He unrolls the scroll of Isaiah, and he says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released." Isn't that amazing? He has sent me to proclaim the captives are going to go free. The blind will see. The oppressed, well, they will be set free. The time of the Lord's favor has come. It's being fulfilled in their midst. That's Jesus coming in the power of the Holy Spirit after fasting and praying. After working in media for a lot of years and seeing quite a few leaders rise and then fall, over and over again, it's because they maybe took shortcuts, they were overworking, they were hungry, they were tired, but they weren't fasting, and in an unrealized moment, made choices that destroyed their influence. And the study note in my Life Application Bible, this is New Living Translation from the Gospel of Luke, listen to what it says. It's powerful. Sometimes what we are tempted to do isn't wrong in itself. Turning a stone into bread, that's what the enemy was tempting Jesus to do. Turning a stone into bread wasn't necessarily bad. The sin was not in the act, but in the reason behind it. The devil was trying to get Jesus to take a shortcut, to solve Jesus' immediate problem at the expense of his long-range goals, to seek comfort at the sacrifice of his discipline. Satan often works that way, persuading us to take action, even right action, for the wrong reason or at the wrong time. The fact that something's not wrong in itself does not mean that it's good for you at a given time. Many people sin by attempting to fulfill legitimate desires outside of God's will or ahead of his timetable. So first ask, is the Holy Spirit leading me to do this, or is Satan trying to get me off track? Often we're tempted not through our weaknesses, but through our strengths. The devil tempted Jesus where he was strong. Jesus had power over stones, the kingdoms of this world, and even angels, and Satan wanted him to use that power without regard for his mission. When we give in to the devil and wrongly use our strengths, we become proud and self-reliant. Trusting in our own powers, we feel little need of God. To avoid this trap, we must realize that all of our strengths are God's gifts to us, and we must dedicate those strengths to his service. This is what I'm saying, is don't be afraid of your weakness and the weakness that comes when you're fasting. First Peter says this, so prepare your mind for action. Be completely sober in spirit, steadfast, self-disciplined, and spiritually and morally alert. Fix your hope completely on the grace of God that is coming to you when Christ Jesus is revealed to you. So again, you can practice discipline without fasting, but you cannot practice fasting without discipline. So train for the fast. But I encourage you, as you head into this next season of life, there are things you need from the Lord. There are things you've probably been putting up for way too long in your life. And also, there are things on a grander scale in the kingdom story that God wants you to be a part of the solution for. So you've got reasons to fast. And anything you lay down pales in comparison to what you lay hold of in Christ Jesus. So blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Fasting is not an outdated discipline. It's a now practice, and it's for those of us who want to last long and finish strong. The enemy's prowling, looking for ways to take you out, and he'll go after your flesh in the places where you're giving yourself a pass, you're giving yourself a break. But I'm telling you, as Paul did, buffet your body, make it your slave, so that after preaching others, you yourself will not fall out, will not be disqualified from influence because you coddled your flesh. God wants to do great things in and through you. And if Jesus fasted and prayed, I think we ought to consider fasting and praying. Pray this encourage you. Have a really great day. Thanks for listening to this bonus podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. This content is available thanks to the gifts of generous listeners just like you. You can become a supporter today at myfaithradio.com.